members of the council. We also oppose this motion strongly. I suppose with the committee vote, it's a foregone conclusion in a way that, in particular since it seems to be getting encouraged by the agency all the way to the top, that this option will end up in a framework and from the sense I get, even possibly approved for action. So for the non-lawyers, let me summarize what I'm doing is building a record here, because I think this is clearly a violation of NEPA. I think it violates the spirit and the substance of NEPA. It was developed explicitly to avoid environmental review. That's on the record. The basis for this assumes a decision that hasn't been yet made through the Omnibus Habitat Amendment about what value the different closed areas are providing. It segments a significant part of the Omnibus Habitat Amendment analysis for the explicit purpose of avoiding review, and it forecloses the efficacy of alternatives in the Omnibus Habitat Amendment. We will fight this strenuously. But what makes this potentially legal action even worse from my perspective is that it's a bad and unnecessary option to put on the table. This council is looking at real scarcity, scarcity of PDT resources, scarcity of council resources, scarcity of agency resources, scarcity of fish. Unlike some of the speakers earlier today that were talking about all the problems with the yellowtail flounder assessment, what I listened to yesterday was Chris Legault's statement that there's not a single positive element that the scientists saw with yellowtail flounder, not a single positive sign. Potentially opening up what we consider to be a loophole that provides no clear benefits to the group of fishermen who are going to be caught up in a financial disaster because some of these low quotas is going to apply to everybody, and everybody's not in the same situation. I think we all know that. With the scarce amount of fish that you have to allocate and the limits you have on some of those stocks, you would, with this option, not be using those fish to advance any of the data gaps or needs you all talk about so passionately, whether the ecosystem questions that need to be answered, whether the socioeconomic questions that need to be answered. These options, those fish are just going to get picked by whichever sector goes forward and can get their ops plans through the agency. You're not going to control that process. And then finally, this is clearly, to me anyway, going to increase gear conflicts and protected species problems that are going to backlash against coastal fishermen. And I don't know why all coastal fishermen can't see that. It's probably my own ignorance. The justification for this, if the council will bear with me for a little bit longer, is that these are just, say, closed area two is just a haddock closure for haddock mortality, and now that we've got the quota system, we can get rid of it. It's not functional anymore. I only went fishing on one commercial fishing boat. It was a really valuable experience. It was a scallop route in the closed area two. And that was 1996 when the area got closed, and I think for each tow, each hour tow we had, we got three totes of scallops, and our landings were split pretty much evenly by the pound between scallops, yellowtail, and monktails. The haddock mortality closure produced, in part, the scallop fishery we have today. So the notion that this is just about haddock mortality and there are not other productivity factors involved that the SASI model doesn't capture, to me, is just wrong. And I think a lot of people know that. I would urge you very strongly to look at the existing tools you have. What worries me, I guess, most about this from a process standpoint is that there are a lot of smart people around this table. I saw David Gaethel asking a lot of really good questions about a halibut tagging program an EFA, exempted fisheries permit for a halibut tagging program. I mean, you know, in the scheme of things, that's a gnat. You are, through this option, going to be turning those kinds of decisions over to the sectors to come forward and the agency to make the decisions. You are abdicating any authority and management responsibility you have to the agency, which many of you don't trust, to make these allocation decisions of who's going to get those scarce fish. It just boggles my mind. You have existing tools. You should be in this framework developing the exempted fisheries program or the special access program. We've had a lot of those. Where's the evidence of the results of those? I know there was a state EFP program. I know that the Hook guys want to get into the Nantucket Lightship to do non-groundfish fishing. That's a no-brainer for me. I think they should do it with the extra large mesh. I think there'd be no habitat impacts, little groundfish impacts. But you need to target your scarce fish resources and your scarce staff resources to the areas that will not just kill one bird, but two or three or four birds with that allocation of fish. And by doing this, you are throwing away that opportunity, and I strongly urge you to reject the option. Thank you.
Rich.
I think I was halfway up the aisle this time. Rich Kanashtra. The problems that we see, the problems that we're in today, has a lot to do with what's up on that motion now. The last few speakers, me personally, I think that's the whole problem. We went to sectors, we went to a hard tack in which the last few speakers industry into. We're promised to open up these closed areas, not going into habitat, but open up the closed areas to have access. There was no proof that these closed areas brought back the haddock. We're still waiting to see that. And fishing in 1990, I think that's 16 years ago, things have to change. And I'm holding a case myself. The case is that between good and evil, my personal feeling, we're going down a road of bad news, not just in fisheries, but through the United States. It all has to do with conservation. And if you people don't see it, you will see it in the near future. Damn it to hell, let us do these closed areas. We don't do anything to our habitat, and it's only going to help the fishermen. We went to hard tax, they wanted it. Now we're in hard tax, and they don't want to allow us to go into closed areas. Please wake up and understand where we're coming from. We're not seeing it. Break.
Peter Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Peter Baker. I'm the Northeast Fisheries Director for the Pew Environment Group. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Without delving into the good or evil of the American system and conservation, and without even delving into the protection of habitat or the goal of getting into groundfish closed areas, I want to make and want to really bring home today that by doing this through sector operations plan, you're making the sector operations plan the political football battlefield on which access to groundfish closed areas is going to be fought. And the logical outcome of that, from my point of view, is that you're going to see requests for longer periods of public comment on sector ops plans. You're going to see thousands and thousands of comments opposing sector ops plans. You're going to see lawsuits against sector ops plans. And the outcome of that is going to be fishermen tied to the dock on May 1st. not going fishing. You have an exempted fisheries process, exempted fisheries program process, by which you can allow access to these areas. If you take the time, if you expedite the process, if you figure out a way to get people into these areas with a hard tack on their catch, with a hard tack on their bycatch, with heightened monitoring, and with a public report at the end of the program to tell you how they performed, you can do this in a legitimate manner. This is not a legitimate manner. It's going to create an incredible political playing field that is going to end up with fishermen tied to the dock on May 1st. And I encourage you to abandon this motion and use the process, the exempted fisheries process you already have set up. Thank you.
Ben, did you have your hand up? I'm also just going to make one comment. There are people with different points of view who are expressing them, and they should be given that opportunity. And when you're speaking, I expect people to be speaking to the motion itself, not countering necessarily or making comments directed at other people's comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would just like to take a minute to bring your attention to a letter that was sent around last night that was signed by over 20 fishermen who fish in the Gulf of Maine. These are fishermen that are out on the water. They make up over 50% of the landings that go through the Portland Fish Exchange. And they are extremely concerned about what this would mean for the Gulf of Maine. And one of the biggest problems that we have with this motion is that it removes the fishermen from really understanding what the requirements are to get into this area, into these different areas, what that means for their businesses, what that means for the long-term survival of the different fish stocks, especially in the Gulf of Maine, where we have a lot of stocks that we've seen decline over the last couple of years.
Ben, would you just identify yourself?
Ben Martens with the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. And so I just want to really raise that concern to you guys today that this isn't just something that environmental community is worried about. This is something that fishermen who fish around these areas catch the majority of their catch from the areas around the corners of these closed areas are worried about, and what that means in the Gulf of Maine. It might be very different on George's Bank, we don't know, but I think that removing the process from a very public forum, which is at the council, to something that's happening in the back rooms at NIMS is very concerning to the fishermen who would have to deal with the repercussions of any decisions that are made for a very long period of time. Thank you.
I've got Patrick and then Ron,
Vito.
And Vito, Maggie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Patrick Paquette. Today's hat is chairman of the Massachusetts chapter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance. I'm also on the National Board of Advisors. I'm also a member of the Recreational Advisory Panel. And the RAP doesn't currently have an opinion. However, there is a bunch of members of the RAP that have continued to discuss. We believe that opening up the Western Gulf of Maine closed area could have a significant impact upon the charter fleet. And the for-hire fleet has a lot more jobs and a lot more economic impact than I think people, the first glance awareness may be around this table. So I'm going to agree with some of the people that spoke before me saying that this really does need to be fully vetted and fully analyzed, especially having to do with the economic impact upon the jobs that are up and down our coastal community, because there is a lot of boats. This is one of the few places that we can fish relatively unmolested habitat. And we've already lost a couple of head boats and big boats and quite a few smaller boats out of our community based just upon the state of the recreational groundfish or the species of groundfish that we're truly interested in. Doing this, not only is it have the argument about is this pulling the pin on the last of the codfish that are available in shore. You can have that argument with the scientists. But this is one of the few places that boats from Gloucester, Marshfield, up and down this coast are able to get with charter customers. And so we can stop that tourism and we can eliminate a whole lot of that because they're just not going to come. I mean, we've continued to push this envelope. So this really needs to go, in my opinion, it's got to go through, it should go through a true EIS, but you should at least get the opinion of your recreational advisors and get some informed information from the participants and at least our fishery. Because I'm pretty sure that we have the largest number of participants. So please, please, like, give to the real number of jobs and the real number of money that this thing could impact. Like, make sure as you go through these important decisions that you really have all the information. That's all we're asking. Thanks.
Ron Smolowitz.
Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries. On first question through you, Mr. Chairman, why the February 15th to May 1st closure?
Tom? Well, this was not, this was, those dates were contained in the original, there was not an explicit rationale made at the committee motion. Presumably those dates were picked since about 1960, those areas have been closed during that period because of concerns of spawning or groundfish spawning on George's Bank. That those periods do coincide with the spawning for both haddock and cod and some other species.
And just out of curiosity, is there scientific literature that supports that hypothesis that's been around for 70, 80 years?
Yes.
Okay. And I imagine that would be a part of it. In general, the comments that I've heard the environmental community today and the industry yesterday is let's get that EFH amendment in place. I mean, that's the solution here. And that omnibus needs to come in ASAP. I mean, there's no doubt that's what we're hearing. And if we have to have an extra council meeting and extra committee meetings and take protected species people and put them to work on this, let's do it. Let's get that amendment in place ASAP.
Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Giglione, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We fully support this motion. I think this is, we don't want there to be a classic bait and switch that's happened here. I think that this motion was very thoughtfully put together to respect all of the options on the table. It's been an 8-year process and then ramped up in the last few years of the omnibus habitat amendment, or at least the habitat portion of it. And all of those options are preserved in this particular motion. This was to get at just the mortality only portions. It basically calls the bluff of what are we doing hard tax for and why are we doing weekly reporting and daily reporting if you get to 80% of your tax. The amount of burden that and self reporting and calculations that the industry is doing today. We have yet to receive anything other than a relief of the trip limits so you can be off the water sooner. That's all we've received, and we've got a pile of work that we do now all the time, offering real-time catch data, real-time catch data practically. So to not have access to the mortality-only portions after 8 years of deliberating over what's important for habitat and what isn't, and preserving every option, if that's not enough, I totally appreciate the recreational concerns. But the reality is, I mean, the charts would have been nice to see up there. Western Gulf of Maine pretty much stays closed under this option with the exception of 5 minutes on the outside edge, which is not where the recreationals are fishing on the first edge. So I think that would should relieve the fears there. That's not going to be decided until the omnibus amendment comes through. This is relief. This is replacing hard tax, high accountability, in place of an input control. This is an artifact of the old system that was promised to be relieved. I don't know how anyone can say that this needs further analysis than that. And I think as far as I would say, there's the sector system was something, you know, a lot of us went into kicking and screaming.
And we're not going to sit here and brag about it, but I'm going to say that there's far from this easy backdoor loosey-goosey stuff that goes on between the agency and the sectors when we're talking about exemptions. I think it's a very transparent process. I think it ends up in something that all of the sectors are treated equally, even when one sector comes forward. So it's not one of these food grab type of things. So I don't think it's fair to describe that what goes on between the agency and the sectors is something that's underhanded or something that's a first come, first serve, because it's not. I think the agency's done a good job of that. So again, we support this motion, and it was intentionally designed to respect the omnibus amendment.
Maggie?
Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I want to thank the committee for bringing this motion forward. I, excuse me, was unable to attend the last Groundfish Committee meeting. I particularly want to thank the NIMS representative on the committee who was reported to me by industry, worked really hard to help support this motion going forward. 15 years ago, I came before this council on behalf of Associated Fisheries of Maine and spoke in favor of closing these areas. We were the only industry group to do that at the time, and as you can imagine, we were quite unpopular, especially once they got closed to scallopers as well. But we really believed that these closures would produce some significant changes in the status of the resource. So we have seen some of that with haddock, but unfortunately, we haven't seen it with any of the other stocks. So in particular in the Gulf of Maine, where these closures came in later to protect Gulf of Maine cod, we don't see that they have produced that desired result. So in some ways, you know, we regret supporting these closures, because now it's 18 years. 18 years. What are we waiting for? When are we going to realize that we have to do something different? As others have said, the hard tack is the control. If not this, then what? What is the options for the industry? What do we bring more fish across the dock? How do we pay our bills? How do we support the infrastructure? How do we feed our families? This is an opportunity to bring more fish across the dock. That's what we need to do. We need to a lot of concern about effort inshore by larger boats. This moves larger boats, medium-sized boats offshore. In fact, in some ways, I don't think this motion goes far enough, because it doesn't provide any relief from the rolling closures for some of the small boats. This is very limited opportunity here. As Vito said, 5 miles on the Western Gulf of Maine closed area. 5 miles. The other areas on Georgia's are seasonal access. There's a very small opportunities here in terms of access to areas that have been closed for a very long time. It's a one-year plan, 1 year. Sector operations plans are for 1 year. We'll have the opportunity to see if it is fruitful, if it does provide more fish across the dock. We believe that the sector operations, part of what this sectors was all about was supposed to be about opportunities for co-management, and that's what we've done. As Vito said, we went into this kicking and screaming, but we've made it work. We're trying to make it work, but we need access to the resource in order to continue to make it work. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this. I urge you all to fully support this going forward. Let's get the analysis. Let's make a good decision in November. Thank you.
Emily?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Emily Litzinger with Environmental Defense Fund. We support this motion. EDF feels that the time is right to evaluate New England's closed area network, given the length of time closures have been in place and the important changes to the management system for the groundfish fishery. We support the council's approach to consider the utility of closed areas for habitat and groundfish management in an integrated manner. While that large analysis continues, we support this motion to consider exemptions requests from individual sectors for access to groundfish closures that do not overlap with current EFH closures. We believe that access should require 100% EPSI monitoring as well as clear demonstrations of the benefits of access in terms of high catch per unit effort of healthy stocks to low catch per unit effort of weak stocks. Thank you.
Roger Farming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleming, Earth Justice. We're speaking in opposition to this motion. We understand that this particular ops plan approach was put in place because of some of the advice that was received in order to open habitat closures. An amendment would be required and a full EIS would be required. But this approach doesn't avoid those requirements. This is still a significant change to the fishery management plan. It's going to require, it needs to be done through an amendment. There needs to be a full EIS to evaluate this. And the Omnibus Habitat Amendment provides that opportunity. It's reasonable, we think, to evaluate these closures at this time, but it should be done as part of a comprehensive approach. In the meantime, the exempted fisheries permit process provides an opportunity to get some access to the areas with appropriate sideboards on place to gather some of the data that was just suggested that we need. And frankly, doing this through the operations plan, we share the concern that those operations plans for the sectors are just too much to put at risk with this type of change that would occur through this amendment. Again, this habitat amendment standing is it's nearly ready to go. If you want to grant this access, do it through an exempted fishing permit. Gather some data that can be fed into the Omnibus Habitat Amendment, and then you can make a comprehensive decision with these closures in view of the revisions to EFH and the habitat closures. Thank you.
Jack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Smith with the Nature Conservancy in Maine. Thank you for the opportunity to comment here. A lot of the discussion so far has been centered around the potential impacts on essential fish habitat to opening up these areas and the relationship to the Omnibus Amendment. What I wanted to do is just to make sure that in considering this motion that the council also considers the potential implications for the ground fish rebuilding efforts, the biology of the fish side of things as part of this motion. We all know the fishery has been declared a disaster. We all know that there are pretty heavy cuts coming and quotas in the coming years. And I just wanted to make sure that the council is aware that there has been some science going on recently. Dr. Graham Sherwood of Gulf of Maine Research Institute and his colleagues have been looking at fish populations inside and outside of closed areas, and in particular looking at cod inside and outside of closed areas. And if I may, I just want to share a couple of the conclusions that he has drawn there and make sure that the council is aware of that as they consider this motion. The first thing he found was that the cod sampled inside of the closed areas were bigger, they were healthier, and they were more productive. And that was a pretty clear finding of his research. And what they also found was that the fish inside of the closed areas, and again, this is cod I'm speaking to, were also older than those. They found that there were eight times as many fish that were 5 years or older inside of the closed areas than outside of the closed areas. And that this has real important implications for our rebuilding efforts because of the higher productivity, the better eggs, the better potential for the survival of those eggs, of those older fish as opposed to the younger fish outside of the closed areas. I'm taking this from the GMRI newsletter, their waypoints. I encourage you all to read it and to take a closer look at Graham's work on the differences of the fish and the productivity of the fish inside and outside of these closed areas as you consider your decision on this motion, and also that the agency would do the same if they are considering exemptions to sector plans moving forward. Thank you.
Vito.